Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, February the 16th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us an opportunity to come and study your word day by day. We're grateful for the blessings that you bestow upon us, and we thank you for all that you continue to do for us. We ask that you would continue to lead us in the path of righteousness, that our lives might reflect you in every detail. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, today we've reached the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, and we begin at verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For he shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God, and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Review and Herald, January the 3rd, 1893, beginning at paragraph 2, says this. The Lord does not leave the work of judging to finite man. For unless the Holy Spirit sanctifies the soul, man cannot be a cautious, safe judge. In the parable of the wheat and the tares, the Lord gave special directions to warn his disciples against uprooting those from the church who they supposed were spurious Christians. He had said, judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. This lesson has been strangely neglected by those who profess to be doers of the words of Christ. For if a brother erred and did not meet their ideas, They manifested hard-heartedness, a cold, critical spirit, and rashly followed their impulses and turned the offender adrift. The Lord sums up the whole duty of man in the following words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and give His commandments keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now condemneth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the righteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he shall have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. There are many who are treated as tears and hopeless subjects, whom Christ is drawing to himself. Men judge from the outward appearance and think they discern the true measurement of a man's character, but they make many blunders in their judgments. They put a high estimate upon a man whose appearance is as an angel of light, when in thought and heart he is corrupt and unworthy. On another whose appearance is not so favorable, they pass criticism, make him an offender for the word, and would separate him from the church because of his supposed defective character, when it may be that he who reads the heart sees true moral worth in that man. Human judgment does not decide any case. For the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are his ways our ways. He whom we would separate from the church as altogether unworthy is the object of the Lord's solicitude and love. All heaven is engaged in doing the appointed work of drawing souls to God. And the Lord hath said concerning his word, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. Then, since the Lord is working through his own divine agency upon the hearts of those whom we would term hopeless subjects, let not man be officious. Let him stand out of the way of God's work. For his word that goeth forth from his mouth will accomplish its appointed work and prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent. Let not man set himself as a judge of his brethren, for God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus clothed his divinity with humanity in order that he might reach humanity. The apostle says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." Jesus is the only one that has ever walked in the flesh who is able to judge righteously. Looking at outward acts, men may condemn and root up that which they think to be tears, but they may greatly mistake. Both ministers and laymen should be Bible students and understand how to act in regard to the erring. They are not to move rashly, to be actuated by prejudices or partiality, to be ready with an unfeeling heart, to uproot one and tear down another, for this is most solemn work. In criticizing and condemning their brethren, the accusers wound and bruise the souls for which Christ has died. Christ has purchased them with his own precious blood. And although men, judging from outward appearances, pronounce sentence against them, their judgment in the courts of heaven is most favorable than their accusers are. Before any of you speak against your brethren, or act decidedly to cut them off from church fellowship, follow the injunction of the apostle. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know that Christ Jesus is in you, except ye be reprobates. Let those who would dispose of their brethren look well to the character of their own thoughts, their motives, their impulses, purposes, and deeds. Compare your experience with the law of God and see whether you are an example in character, in conversation, and in purity. Said Christ, "I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified." Before condemning others, let us ask ourselves, am I an example to my brethren in bearing fruit unto holiness? Do the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance appear in my life? Have I that charity which suffereth long and is kind, that thinketh no evil? Do I reveal the facts to others that I am in the faith? If upon careful, prayerful examination of ourselves, we discover that we are not able to bear the test of human investigation, then how shall we endure the test of the eyes of God, if we set ourselves up as judges of others? Before judging others, our first work is to watch and pray, to institute a warfare against the evil of our own hearts through the grace of Christ. We are to stand under the shadow of the cross of Calvary, humbling our hearts, confessing our sins, and entreating the Lord to pardon our defects of character and strengthen our love for our brethren. If we neglect this heart searching in the light of divine truth, self-love will blind our eyes, and we shall have a much better opinion of ourselves than God has of us. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. And it is written, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." The reason is plain why Christ has said, "Judge not." For it is natural for man to exalt his own goodness, to shun a candid examination of his own heart, and depreciate others. If we looked upon things in the right light, we should see that we need mercy from Christ every moment and should render the same to our brethren. Jesus has not placed man upon the judgment seat, for he knew human nature too well to give man the power to judge and condemn others. He knew that in their fallible judgment, they would roof up some of tears who were worthy of their sympathy and confidence, and would pass by others who deserved to be dealt with in a decided manner. When there are cases in the church which need to be dealt with decidedly, let the rule of the Bible be carried out. If the influence of erring members has an influence that corrupts others, they should be disfellowshipped, and heaven will ratify the action. It is the work of the enemy to sow tares among the wheat, and there will be men found in the church whose influence, as far as we can discern from outward appearance, is no blessing to the church. But even in cases of this character, we are to move cautiously, for Christ and heavenly agencies are at work to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. While Christ is at work to preserve a pure church, Satan ever seeks to counteract his agencies and work. Spiritless Christians are found in the church of God, for we find men, while professing the name of Christ, more firmly united to Satan than they are united with pure and holy influences. They gather darkness and unbelief from Satan, and they communicate it to the church. They profess to have the power of discernment and discover spots and stains in the character of their brethren, and are not slow to communicate their suspicions to one another and to other members of the church. They distribute the leaven of distrust, of malice and accusation, and as a result, alienation and estrangement come in between brethren. All these false accusers, though their names are on the church records, are under the control of Satan and work as his agents to weaken and confuse the church and divide the brethren of Christ on earth. When this has been accomplished, Satan exults over the divided state of the church and points the world to the professed followers of Christ, thus bringing the name of Christ into dishonor before the world and entrenching men in their unbelief and rebellion against God. Why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. We have great need to search the scriptures, that we may be representatives of Christ and act our part as laborers together with God to build up the church in the most holy faith. There is not enough careful, prayerful, painstaking investigation in accepting members into the church. We cannot follow the example of the world or allow our criticisms to sway us from the path of duty. They will blame us if we refuse to admit certain persons into church fellowship, and on the other hand, they condemn the church for its unworthy members. They will say, the church is no better than the world, for its members deceive and cheat and bear false witness. So the world say so in this matter of who shall be admitted into the church fellowship shall have no weight with us. There is one thing that we have no right to do, and that is to judge another man's heart or impugn his motives. But when a person presents himself as a candidate for church membership, we are to examine the fruit of his life and leave the responsibility of his motive with himself. But great care should be exercised in accepting members into the church, for Satan has his specious devices through which he purposes to crowd false brethren into the church, through whom he can work more successfully to weaken the cause of God. It should be the earnest desire of every heart to keep the church pure. And individually, we are to keep our hearts in the love of God and practice the truth daily, that this may be accomplished. The question is asked in regard to the tares, wilt thou then that they go and gather them up? But he says, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. We are not required to criticize, to condemn, or root out all that we suppose to be tares, lest we root out also the wheat. The church will not be free from those whose influence is out of harmony with that which should characterize the servants of Christ. The children of God will be stirred in spirit by the doings of these unworthy members, and they will desire to do something to cleanse the church, that its members may be a light to shine in the world. But even under these circumstances, let them be careful to heed the words of the great teacher. Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. There is such a thing as zeal not according to knowledge. And could all the circumstances be opened which surround these souls, the zealous church members might have their ideas modified and be led to pursue an entirely different course. They would see that a work devolved upon them to seek and save instead of to destroy, to manifest long-suffering, gentleness, and patience, and love to those whose character and life are below the standard. To cut them off from the church would perhaps extinguish their last hope. And who can determine how God looks upon these manifestly erring ones? In many cases, it is evident that those who are most zealous to see the church without blemish have serious defects of characters themselves, which they do not discern. Because of their own mistakes and failings, unconsciously to themselves, they may be doing greater harm than the ones they judge unworthy to remain in fellowship with the church. Today, God is calling us to examine ourselves, to examine our lives, to take a hard look at the things that we have done and the choices that we have made before we rush to judgment where others are concerned. Today, I am pleading with you, as I am saying to myself, let us turn the vision within. Let us look at our hearts, our own hearts. Let us examine the choices that we have made and the decisions that we constantly make day by day, and ask God to purify our path as we walk along this pathway. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to warn, that you continue to guide, that you continue to instruct. And today we thank you for this warning and this caution. Help us to look within. Guide us to examine ourselves carefully so that we might see that which we need to have changed through your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, February the 16th, 2020.